In all three synoptic gospels, the story of the transfiguration occurs just after Jesus has made it clear to his disciples what would be the cost of discipleship. And he professes for the first time the prophecy of the Passion. They make their way up Mount Tabor, and there in the presence of Peter, James, and John, Jesus is transfigured. Those three disciples get to see a glimpse of the glory of God there on the mountain. A far cry from another mountain that is in the immediate future. There will be no bright lights and shining glory, just pain and darkness and fear and desperation. But it's there on Tabor that we hear, first of all, Peter saying to Jesus, "It's good for us to be here." We're not quite sure why he said what he said. He really didn't need to say anything. But he says, "Lord, it's good for us to be here. Let's maybe stay here. Let's build three tents, one for you and Moses and Elijah." So he's kind of already lost what the intention of Tabor is all about. Because that's not where Jesus is meant to stay. He has to come down the mountain. Remember, he's on his way to Jerusalem, where he will suffer, die, and rise again. And the appearance of Moses and Elijah is that Jesus is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. The one who was to come, the one who has come, and the one who will come. And then Jesus is announced, we might say. "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Now, if you can remember the stories of the scriptures, it's that same message that we heard when Jesus arrived at the River Jordan to be baptized at the beginning of his public ministry. He comes up out of the water, and the voice of the Father is heard in that same way. "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." I want to think about that just for a moment. A number of years ago, I remember somebody telling me as they came out of Mass, having heard this gospel story, "You know, Father, I've never been the beloved of anybody." And it really struck me. I'm thinking not of your spouse, or your children, or your parents, or others. She said, "No, I've never been the beloved of anybody until today. I felt that God was saying to me, 'You are my beloved. With you I am well pleased. But listen to me. And I will show you what you need to do to live your life in accordance with the will of the Father.'" To be the beloved of God is to be in an intimate relationship with him. And for many people, that is a scary situation to be in. They don't want to be that close to Jesus because they know how much and how intensely he loves us. And so we'd rather kind of sit off to the side a little bit even than be drawn into the heart of the loving Son of God. We'd rather kind of battle on by ourselves. Take up our own cross and walk with it ourselves rather than walking with it with Jesus. And yet, when you are the beloved, there is nothing that God will not give you. But remember, as Jesus was not meant to stay on Tabor, neither are we. We need those glimpses of the glory of God in the dailiness of our lives. We need to know that God is with us, but also that the cross is real too. We can't just have the glory, we have to have the suffering too. But the suffering, the cross, only makes sense if it foreshadows the glory that is still to come. We can't go straight to the empty tomb on Easter Sunday morning without going first to Calvary. But we're not meant to stay on Calvary. If you want to stay on Calvary, that's your choice, nobody else's. And it's certainly not God's choice. God does not desire us to stay on Calvary, but wants to show us through his love how beloved we really are. And yet that comfortness of wanting to stay there where everything is okay and we don't have to deal with whatever it may be. We pretend it'll go away, and of course it never does it? It's always there. But hopefully it allows us to become who God truly desires us to be. You are my beloved. With you I am well pleased. I wonder when was the last time any of us would say that we actually felt those words of Jesus resonate in our hearts. There's a big chasm that often exists in people's lives today between what they do and their relationship then with God. And God is desiring to fill that chasm with his love. He says, well, let me show you. So therefore, I have to trust God. I have to entrust to God. I have to give it over to him. The older I get, and probably the less wise I get, the more I feel I just need to leave it with God and then just walk away. And in a sense, that's abandoning. But it's abandoning to God. There's a big difference, isn't there? Between just leaving something there and walking away and forgetting all about it, or abandoning it to God and giving it to him so that he can make it his own. And so to entrust to God, to hand it over to him. But not to then become, which many people often do, they've become very then despondent. Because then they don't get the answer immediately. You know, we pray, don't we, every day, thy will be done. I think sometimes we're often saying, my will be done. You know? Because after all, who knows my life better than I do? Oh, that's right, God does. Yeah, forgot about that. You know? Am I ready to do that? Am I willing to do that? And I want to dare to suggest that I can only do that when I know that I am the beloved one. The beloved of God, the beloved son, the beloved daughter, the beloved child. And there on Tabor, whatever Tabor represents in my life, I get to see that glimpse of the glory of God. But then I've got to come down and continue the path. In other words, I've got to get on with my life. But I get on with my life knowing that Jesus is walking with me. Remember the story of the disciples on the road to Emmaus after the resurrection? Jesus is walking with them. And it's only afterwards that they say, "Did not our hearts burn within us as he spoke to us along the way? We knew there was something about this man, but we just couldn't put our finger on it, whatever it was. Our hearts burned because he was talking to us. He was showing us. He'd gone through the scriptures with us in order that we would be able to understand. And it was only when we broke bread that our eyes were opened." My sisters and brothers, never be afraid of being vulnerable with God. Never be afraid of trusting God. Never be afraid of getting close to God. Never be afraid of losing sight of God. Never be afraid of who God really is in your life. Because when you know who God is in your life, then you know that you are the beloved.